Need some outfit inspiration? See the hottest street fashion Utah has to offer in our monthly Slug Style feature.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name is Sophia Scott, a.k.a. The Rock Princess. We like to use our aliases for the band, so we have Matt Benatar on drums and Low End Lucy on the low end. We play what we call trashy drag punk. It's a form of punk that's fused with a sharper metal sound. A little bit of grunge, rock, metal, dance, pop, all kind of influence the sound of the band. There's an expectation of queer people, trans people, to like a certain genre of music. Whatever that is to that person kind of varies. So when people meet me or see me, they don't expect me to be really into heavy metal and heavy rock and grunge and alternative rock. I don't really know why that is, but it seems to happen a lot. With the band, it's the same thing. Our image doesn't really reflect the style of music we play. We look a lot more pretty. When we get up on stage and start playing, it's definitely not pretty. So we like the juxtaposition of being pretty but also being grungy. It's not what you would expect. I feel like we get a pretty good response from the queer community and trans community. I feel like even just our aesthetic alone will convert people that generally don't listen to rock and roll music would actually listen to us. And that's really exciting too, to introduce a whole new genre to people that wouldn't normally listen to it. My mom had a bunch of LPs that I spun a lot when I was younger. My number one influence was Faith No More, and they came out in the early 90s, and it was the only kind of band in the genre that added like synth elements to their sound, and I'd never heard anything like that in the modern times, and so I just stuck with them, and every time they put out a new album, to me it was just better than the last one. I picked up the guitar when I was 15 years old, and I started composing songs on a Yamaha keyboard, to which I still own to this day. It has a floppy disk drive, so I could save my compositions on a 16-track MIDI recorder that was built into it. I then recorded it into an analog tape deck, record two tracks of guitar, bounce those over to one track, and then I'd have two other tracks for vocals. But I still do that to this day. I just use GarageBand. It's a little more cohesive. Started out doing drag when I moved to the city in 2011. I often went to a club called Metro on a Thursday evening. They hosted a dance party called Dance Evolution, and it really allowed me to explore my gender as well as sexuality, and also just linked me into the community of a bunch of awesome people. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was just out to have fun. I only did rock numbers. My friends would then call me the Rock Princess, because I was throwing a wrench into the scene with these guitar songs that I would perform to. I knew I wanted to do a lot more with it, so I started to incorporate my music into my drag. After being on hiatus for about 5 or 6 years, I didn't even touch my guitar. But I wanted to create a persona that played guitar and sang in a corset and high heels rather than just prancing around the stage and lip-syncing. I wanted to sing songs about not being gender normative, but also brings a sense of trans awareness to the table. I felt it was really important to add a lot of sass to the performances that comes out in the lyrics. Plus, a lot of the music is really sassy. It's a little bit more heavy than, say, other types of pop music that you would hear on the drag scene. It's a lot more guitar-driven, and it gives it a lot more sass and attitude when you add like a distortion guitar to it, and that's exactly what I was going for.
Please, please, all eyes can see the sweetest perfections on display.
I really enjoyed being a little bit different and subverting people's expectations. There were a lot of people that were up in arms about my sexuality and gender when I first came onto the scene. There were some people that were talking, saying that I didn't deserve to be able to perform drag because of my sexual orientation, didn't align with theirs. As discouraging as that sounds, it was actually really good for me to hear. It was more like I'd rather be talked poorly about than not be talked about at all. And if their hate, you know, makes it easier for them to cope, that's not going to make it so that I go away. It'll probably just help me come on a little bit more stronger. I met Garrett on the Evil Facebook. His look really captured my attention. He was already cross-dressed and on stage playing bass. Maddie and I met at an air guitar competition a couple years back. I knew who he was because I'd seen him with his band before. The Rock Princess was just me for a couple of years. Garrett came on and we tried out some of the material as a band. It started to fall apart early on, and I just wanted to bag it all together, but his persistence was pretty driving for me. Through that, we were able to obtain Maddie and lock him in as a drummer. Plus, his excitement for doing drag really kind of sealed the deal, and he was really excited to join the team. They were pretty much saving me from drowning. They both have their own skill sets to bring to the table, but they clearly saw my vision. So in a sense, they were breathing life into a dying project that I was just about to kick to the curb. I was getting really exhausted playing shows to 10 people, hauling my gear up and down my apartment stairs. There was one time I was renting my apartment out on Airbnb, so I was staying in my rehearsal space. I got locked out of my rehearsal space one night after a show, so I had nowhere to stay. So I had to load my gear back into another Uber and go stay at the hotel that I work at with my gear. And that's about the time when they came into the picture. So essentially they brought it from, you know, a 1 up to a 10. Made the sound and the message and everything else a lot more clear so people could really grasp onto it now that they had other people on stage to relate to other than, you know, I'm trans, and a lot of people can't really relate to trans people. So having them up on stage adds a different dynamic that other people can relate to. They bring their own elements to the table, and I'm not shy of listening to their input. They actually really hold me up to a higher standard of playing. They both have a lot more experience than I do in playing on the scene and playing in bands. So in a way, they just make me better. She-cock isn't really an uncommon term in erotic literature that I happen to read and even sometimes write. So it's nothing new to me, but it does offend some people when they hear the band name. It's a pretty strong word. It kind of opens up the imagination and curiosity about one's own sexuality. So it's often a reference to my own personal parts. And sometimes that can be an issue when you're trans and out in public spaces where your gender is really important. For instance, I was flying home from Los Angeles and I got stopped at the TSA scan and they pulled me aside and told me they had to pat me down for whatever reason. I turned and looked at the scanner, and there was this big red triangle right over the crotch. So I'm packing heat or something. I said, no, that's just my she-cock. And I posted it online, and people just went crazy over the word, so it just stuck. The songs that I write are pretty much about my personal experiences, being trans, the people that I meet, and sometimes the occasions that occur that surround my gender identity. So I've had people, mostly hetero men, approach me with a sense of hostility, their own sexuality is being questioned, and that reflects off of me. So it often comes off as anger, hostility. I can't really tell if they want to fight me or they want to fuck me. It's probably both. So I definitely had to write a very angry song about that. Oh, the song itself, Fighting Words, is really angry. Probably our heaviest song. The content of it stems from the anger of the other person that I'm interacting with. Oftentimes, they're the ones that are confused about my gender identity, which confuses their sexuality, which often kind of leads to anger because they're so confused. You just have to write a song about that kind of experience. It doesn't happen just once or twice. It happens pretty frequently. Once someone finds me attractive and then finds out that I'm trans, that's when they become unhinged. I feel like that's where a lot of trans violence would come from as well. So the song addresses that. Usually it's under the influence of alcohol. And they think they're really smart, but they're not. I wrote this song called Close But No Cigar in relation to all the hardships that I was experiencing as a solo performer. I felt like everywhere I went, I was just failing. And the only way I could really cope with it, again, is to write a song about it. The song is a little tongue-in-cheek. It's spoken from a voice in your head, the one that's taunting you for being a failure the whole time. Sort of just makes light of the nonsense that kind of self-talk is. The song and other songs that I write don't necessarily resolve themselves. It's more just singing about what is, and then from there you just interpret it however you want. That song itself doesn't resolve at all. It just remains poking at your ego until the very end of the song. The idea of the song is to just keep going, laugh at your failures, because there's always something more at the very end. The song doesn't let you have that, and I want the listener to kind of feel that as well. Maybe take slight offense to the song, puff up their chest, and show me differently. It also has a really fun groove, so it hits really hard, and it's a hard message to digest. So having that being the opening song is really what subverts people's expectations of us when they see us. They don't necessarily know that we're going to go on and melt people's faces looking as cute as we do. The song you're about to hear is Pink is Punk. It's kind of our flagship song now. We really love to save this one for about second or third in our set because of the catchiness of it. A lot of people really like it. We didn't really know that it was going to be our flagship song, but the people speak for themselves. We have a whole new crop of material that we're chewing on. We're also toying with the idea of having drag performers or interpretive dancers on stage with us during our songs. We have a big show coming up April 22nd. It's the day after Easter, so it's an Easter-themed satanic rock show. So we'd like you to be there. We also have some big Pride announcements coming up. Keep your ears to the ground for that. You can find us online at shecock.band. You can also find us on Instagram at shecock.band or on the dreaded Facebook at shecock.band. You can also follow me personally on Instagram or Twitter at Sophia Scott Rocks. That's Sophia with an F, not a PH, because I know you typed that in already. If you enjoyed this episode and support local music, please take a minute to rate and review us on iTunes.
No one does winter sports like Utah does. Join us on March 9th for our 19th annual Slug Games, Utah's largest amateur ski and snowboard competition at Brighton Resort. Visit our daily calendar on slugmag.com for more information.